The following sermon is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
All right, so we are in a series right now. Can you remember? Anybody remember what the first passage of scripture we went to was this fall? Yeah, hope God. So 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 was the second one we went to. Good. What was the first one, David? So you got the right idea. Colossians 2, though, not 1 Corinthians. Anyway, so our first sermon we talked about being rooted in Christ and growing in Him, living in Him. You guys remember that? There's that picture of kind of a tree we talked about, how our lives are like a tree. And if we don't have good soil, we won't be able to bear good fruit, right? We won't grow up strong in Christ and be able to bear good fruit. So then the second week, we talked about really getting after how do we do that? Well, we need to understand what the Bible is. We need to understand what the Bible is. And 2 Timothy 3:16 talked about how the Bible is the inspired word of God. The inspired word of God. What does that mean? It's literally from Him, as if He's spoken it to us. And He gave it to us for a purpose. It's profitable for us, right? For teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that we may be equipped for every good work. So that's kind of a review of where we've been. We need to grow. And the way we're going to grow in Christ is by rooting ourselves in Him. Well, how do we do that? Well, we've been given the Bible to do that. The Bible is designed to help us grow in Christ. Now, today, I want to add on to that and start to get to the how. So how do we do it? Tonight we're going to ask the question, how do we read our Bibles for transformation? Now, when you guys hear the word transformation, what comes to your brain? I think of transformers, right? Literally, they look like one thing and they turn into another, whole other thing. How else do we use the word transformation? What does that word bring to mind? Yeah. Changing, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's a simple way of thinking about it, right? Changing, yeah, that's good. You know, a caterpillar goes in to its cocoon and it pops out a whole different, seemingly whole different thing, right? It's transformed. It's the same essence, but it's totally different now. It's totally changed. It's transformed. We want to go into our Bibles and be transformed, to be changed from the inside out. We want to be changed from the inside out. That's the goal of being a Christian, is to become changed from the inside out, to be transformed. And we have a challenge in front of us. Now, you guys, if you have at all tried to open your Bible and read it, you've probably experienced the feeling of, you know, you sit down because you know, okay, I'm supposed to do my Bible time. Maybe your parents made you. Maybe you actually wanted to. You sit down, you open your Bible, and you kind of look at it and you go, what do I do now? Okay. And even if you go to a good story, you know, you go to something like Jericho and the walls falling down, or the Exodus, you know, Moses leading Israel out of Egypt with the 10 plagues and all that kind of stuff. You can go to some great stories and you can read them and it can be really a fascinating story, but you're still left with that question of, how is that supposed to transform me? How is that supposed to change me? What is that supposed to do for me? You know, you're left with that practical question of, okay, like I learned something maybe about the history of Israel or about the world, but what is that supposed to, how is that actually supposed to change me? So I want you guys to be thinking about that question. And if you're not thinking about that question, I would encourage you to think about that question. Think about, you know, if this book really is God's word, if there is a God who's given us this book, and there is, then how are we supposed to read it to transform, to be changed from the inside out? That's our goal tonight. And to look at that, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. If you need to, feel free to look at the contents page in your Bible. It'll tell you what page Ephesians is on. There's no shame in that. Ephesians chapter 4, and go ahead and start nodding when you've turned there. Levi's like, I turned to it my phone, so it took me like 3 seconds. All right, you guys there for the most part? Nod at me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 20 through 24. Go ahead and read quietly along as I read out loud. Verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul here is writing to the Ephesian church, to the Ephesian Christians, and he's challenging them, he's encouraging them, he's really commanding them to no longer live the old life that they lived before they were Christians, to no longer desire those things, to no longer do those sorts of things. And in order to encourage them forward, he reminds them of what it was like to receive Christ in the first place. You know, at the moment when you become a Christian, you have learned Christ. You've learned something about Christ and you've responded to him by denying your old self and choosing to now follow Christ. And Paul reminds them of this, and the way he reminds them is really helpful for us here. So how is it helpful? Well, it really gives us four answers to the question, how do we open up our Bibles and get transformed? There's a process that Paul points us to here of growing in Christ, of being changed from the inside out. And so that process begins in verse 20. And the first thing you need to see in this text is you need to know the goal. What's the goal of the Christian life? We've talked about it the past few weeks, but here Paul, he puts a different twist on it. He expresses it in a different way. You know, we talked about growing like a tree. That's the goal of the Christian life. We talked about being equipped for every good work. Those good works are the goal of the Christian life. Well, here Paul puts different words to it. He says, that is not the way you learned Christ. Learned Christ. Do you guys see that in the text there? What does that mean? That is not the way you learned Christ. How do you learn a person? Isn't that a strange phrase? You know? When I meet somebody, I don't go, oh, I learned Levi. It's kind of a strange phrase, isn't it? But what do you think that's meaning when he says that's not the way you learned Christ? He's talking about when they first heard the gospel and responded to it. And he's saying that's not the way you learn Christ. Well, that certainly includes learning something about Christ. So what are the things you learn about Christ when you hear the gospel? You learn that he's the king, that he's God. You learn that he has come to die on the cross and rise from the dead in order to purchase sinners to be in God's family, to save them from their sins, to give them new life in him. You learn these facts about Christ, don't you? You learn these truths about who he is and what he's done to save you. So when you hear the gospel, you hear those things about him. But then it's not just that. You're not just learning what Jesus has done. You're learning about, like, literally who he is. He's good. He's gracious. He's just. You're learning about him. So even if I were to say, I've learned Levi, I don't literally just mean I know where he lives or I know his name. Like, I'm learning things about him. I'm coming into contact with him as a person. And I'm learning him. I'm learning what he is like. Paul's saying, he's pointing these believers back to their conversion, when they came to know Christ. And he's saying, that's not the way you learned Christ. This old way of living and this old way of desiring is not how you learned Christ. When you accepted him, you didn't learn that you should live that way. You learned a whole new way of being. A whole new way of living and acting and desiring. And he points them to the goal. The goal is to learn Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let me ask you guys this question. What does the world tell us the goal of life is? What does the world tell us the goal of life is? You could put this a whole bunch of different ways, but give me some ideas. Yeah. To be popular. Okay, that's good. Yeah. What else? To be rich. Those two things often go together, don't they? Yeah, Will? Or, yeah, sorry, Sawyer. To be what? to enjoy it, to have fun, to enjoy life. Good, yeah. Somebody else, yeah. To have safety. Yeah, that kind of goes with enjoyment, doesn't it? Like, you can't enjoy something when you're under threat all the time. Yeah, those are all getting at things that we go after in life, aren't they? Have you guys heard people say the phrase, just be yourself? You guys have heard that, haven't you? Just be yourself. People talk about, like, wouldn't life be better if everybody could just be themselves? If they could just be free to express themselves and be themselves and live how they want? You guys have heard that, haven't you? It's in songs like Sesame Street, right? Do what you want to do, be who you want to be, believe in yourself, right? That's nice, isn't it? I could keep going, maybe put a dance to that, but I'll save you guys from that. Yeah, the world, you know, part of enjoying life, part of being popular, part of being safe is being able to express yourself and be yourself. That's how the world, that's what they say the end goal of life is to be able to be who we want to be. Do what you want to do, right? To believe that you're good and that if you just could express yourself, life would be so much better. Think about the Christian life is the exact opposite of that. Oh, it's definitely about enjoying yourself. It's definitely about having friends. It's definitely about being safe. But all of that is wrapped up in becoming somebody else. So the Christian life isn't about expressing yourself. The Christian life is about becoming Christ. Becoming like him. Becoming who he is. Becoming like he is. His character, his loves. You love what he loves. You hate what he hates. You do what he would do. You go after and you desire what he would desire. The Christian life is the opposite of what the world tells us to be. It's not about being who we want to be and expressing ourselves. It's about becoming Christ. Do you see how that changes the whole picture of your entire life? You know, if life is about being who you want to be and expressing yourself, your life is going to look very different than if it's about becoming Christ. And Paul's saying the goal here is to learn Christ, to become him. To literally be just like him. That's the goal. To one day be like Jesus. And so he points us to the goal here. Be like Christ. Learn Christ. So let me ask you guys, how does that transform the way you open your Bibles? And how does that change the way you read this book? You know, it's not just about feeling better. You know, I think a lot of us open our Bibles when we're sad or when we're confused or frustrated. And we look in the Bible for things that are going to calm us down or make us feel better about ourselves, right? That's kind of natural. Well, this points us in a different direction. It points us in the direction of opening our Bibles to know our goal, with the goal in mind, and that is to become like Jesus. That's what we're called to be as Christians. And that's what the Bible's designed to do to us. So that's the first step. We need to understand our goal. Where are we heading in the Christian life, and where are we heading in the reasons why we're opening this book? We're heading into Christ-likeness. That's the point. So know your goal. Where does Paul go from there? Where does Paul go from there? He says in verse 21, sorry, I can't figure out my notes here. He says, but that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So he's saying, assuming that you've actually learned Christ, that you've learned these things about him and that you've learned that your whole life should be about him. But then he goes on in verse 22 to give us our next step, our next answer to the question, to put off your old self. To put off your old self. Now, when we say put off, what's the picture that comes to mind there? Put off something, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That's exactly the picture. It's like changing your clothes, right? You put off your shirt because it's dirty. You're taking something off and you're laying it aside. Here, Paul's saying you need to put off your old self. So it's not your old shirt, it's your old self. Put off your old self. Well, what does that mean? How can you put off yourself? That makes it kind of tricky to understand what he's talking about there. Well, look at what he says next. So how does he describe this old self? He says, which belongs to your former manner of life. Now, what's a manner of life? It's a way of living, right? Your actions, your pattern of how you live, the things you do in your life. He said, your old self belongs to your former manner of life, your former way of living, your old way of acting. And secondly, look at, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Deceitful desires. So it's an old way of acting, and it's an old way of desiring, of wanting things that are false. So that's the old self Paul is talking about. So he's talking to these Christians who are already Christians, and he's saying, you learned to put off your old self, to literally take off that old way of living, that old way of desiring, and to lay it aside, to get rid of it. That's the first part of what it means to be a Christian, is to say, that old self I need to lay aside. I'm turning from my sin and my old way of living and desiring, and I'm now going to go a different direction. So you need to put off your old self. So let me ask you guys, how do we read our Bibles to have that happen? How do we read our Bibles to put off the old self? To get rid of the old way of desiring and acting. Well, it's going to mean that you're looking for things that actually show you what the old self is. Okay? So, if you're a Christian, there's an old way of desiring and acting, and there's a new way of desiring and acting. And when you look in your Bible, you should be looking for ways that the Bible describes that old way. So even in the Old Testament stories, right, you can look for the way human beings sin, how they express their sinful heart. So you can look in stories of Israel's past and see how they rebelled, how they turned and worshiped false gods, how they complained and grumbled. You can look in the New Testament and see how Jesus shows the human heart and the sinfulness of the human heart. You can look at all these things, and they help you see this old self. They help you understand, what is this old self I need to put off in the first place? So it gives you clarity. What's the old way of living? What's the old way of acting and desiring? What's the wrong way to live? What's a non-Christ-like way to live? And it helps you get clarity as you open your Bibles and see those things, so that you can lay it aside. You can lay it aside. You need to put off your old self. That's the first part of a three-step process in what it means to be a Christian. You put off the old. So where do we go from there? Paul continues. So you don't just put off the old. You don't just put off the old. You need to be renewed, he says. Look at verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. What does that mean? Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. What do you guys think when you hear the word renewed? We renew things, right? We renew like a subscription. It means there was an old payment, and now there's a new payment for that subscription. What else do we renew? That's probably not actually how this is being used. What else do we renew? Yeah, David? Library books, yeah, we do renew that, yep. It had an old contract with the library, and now you're renewing it and getting a new contract, yeah. Magazine subscriptions. How about, like, yeah, I mean, I think that's very similar, right? How about like, antiques? You guys know people who do that, right? They renew old antiques. They take something that's old and worn out, and they transform it into something that's new and different. Our minds need to be renewed. There's an old way of thinking. An old way of thinking about this world and about our life, and it needs to be changed. So you put off the old desires and the old actions, but what really needs to change is the way we think. Think about this progression here. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? So maybe put some teeth onto that. Why do you get annoyed at your sibling? What's happening in that moment? You've answered enough, David. Good job, though. Why do you get annoyed at your sibling? Yeah, Levi? Because of sin, yes. Let's put a little more descriptive on that. Do you have another answer? Perfect. They're doing something you don't like, which means there's a conflict of desires going on, right? you desire one thing, they desire another thing, and therefore you're annoyed because they're competing with your desires. You want to use the Xbox, they want to use the Xbox. Clash. Explosion. Right? That's how it works. So you do what you do. You get frustrated because you wanted something. Do you see how your action is being led by your desires there? Just leave it. So you do what you do because you want something, right? Let me ask you, why did you want it? Why did you want it? Came from your mind, didn't it? You were thinking something. What were you thinking in that moment? So let's take the Xbox. You get angry at your sibling because they want to play the Xbox when you wanted to play the Xbox. Why did you want to play the Xbox? What were you thinking in that moment? Don't worry about that. Just look at me. What were you thinking in the moment? Levi?
That I want
to do it and that I'm more important than them, so I should be able to do it first. Okay, yeah. I want to do it. I'm more important than them, so I should be able to do it first. There's a thought process going on there. It's fun. You're thinking that. Like, I remember that it's fun, and I'm thinking it is fun again. You see how at the bottom of what you do is actually your thinking? You think something. So therefore, you think something's true, something's real. This equals me happy. So therefore, you want it. And therefore, you go after it, even when it means competing with your siblings. Do you see the guys? See the progression there? You do what you do because you want what you want, and you want what you want because you think what you think. So at the bottom of this transformation needs to be a change in the way we think. Change in the way we think. Here, let's think about this. If it was really going to happen, that the world was going to have a zombie apocalypse happen, okay? Zombie apocalypse. How many think it's actually going to happen? None of you? None of you guys actually think it's going to happen? Okay, let's pretend, because I think you're all wise. It's not actually going to happen. Pretend it was. How would that change? If you thought it was going to happen, how would that change what you want? What would you want now suddenly? Yeah. Safety. You would want to like build a shelter, get a firearm or something like that, right? You need safety. Find some really savvy people who know how to survive in the wilderness. I don't know. You'd need safety. What else would you want? If a zombie apocalypse, if you think it's going to happen, what are you going to go after? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you guys get the point, right? It's going to change the way you live. You're going to go stock up on food. You're going to get big, hefty, strong people around you. You're going to go live in the wilderness. You're going to desire things because you think something, and then you're going to go after those things. You're going to act a certain way. Do you see how thinking about a zombie apocalypse is actually going to happen changes how you live? Do you see that connection? Well, let's think about something a little bit less silly than that. Think about, if you think life is all about feeling good, about experiencing pleasure. So that's what you think. What are you going to want? What are you going to want? You're going to want to put stuff around you that is pleasing to you, whether that's a video game or, a sport or silence, not homework, obviously, right? You think life is all about pleasure, so therefore you're going to desire pleasure, therefore you're going to go after pleasure. You see how what you think leads to what you're going to end up doing? So if our lives are going to change, if our actions are going to change, we've got to backtrack and have our thinking changed. So how would your life change if instead of thinking your life is all about you getting what you want and having what makes you happy, how would your life change if your thinking changed to think life is all about God and Him being honored and the gospel of His Son coming to save sinners and me proclaiming that and sharing that and living that out in my life? If your thinking changes, how is that going to change what you want in life and what you go after with your actions? You see how that progression changes? So Paul's saying you put off the old dead way of living and desiring that leads to death and is sinful. And you get your mind renewed. So when you open your eyes to his Bible, what are you doing? You're opening it to see what the old self is that you need to put off, those old way of thinking and old way of living. And you're getting your mind renewed in what this book tells us is true. Truths about who God is, truths about who you are in relationship to him, truths about what the whole point of the whole world is, what God is doing in history to save a people for himself, for his glory and our good. You see, as you open your Bible, the truths of the Bible are going to transform the way you think. They're going to change your mind. That's the second step we need. We don't just put off the old. We need to be renewed in our thinking. And then we come to the third one. The third one here of the cycle, which is to put on the new self. Look down at verse 24. Look down at verse 24. He says, and to put on, like in different clothes, right? To put on the new self. Now, what's this new self? Look at how he describes it. Created after the likeness of God. After the likeness of God. We just talked about how we need to become like Christ. That's the goal, right? To learn Christ. To literally put him on. To become like him. And here it's saying there's this new self that's created after the likeness of God. Bingo! That's how we become like him. We put on this new self created after the likeness of God, literally as he is, his character, what he loves and hates, what he does and doesn't do, what he desires. All these things we're putting on. We're putting on ourselves. And he says, this new self is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness, not those false bad ways of desiring and acting that went with our old self before we knew Christ, but a new way of living and acting that's truly righteous and holy. Truly righteous and holy. It comes from putting on this new self that's created in the likeness of God, literally created to be like Jesus. We're putting on Christ in our new, in putting on this new self. So let me ask you, how does that help you guys read your Bible? So we're going to see the human heart. We're going to have the truths of Scripture renew our mind. How does the Bible help us put on this new self, this Christ-likeness? Well, there's a couple of texts that are helpful for us, a couple of passages of Scripture that help point us forward. You don't have to turn there, but in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, when he died, I died. And it's no longer myself that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the body, in this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you see that dead to my old self, alive now in Christ. Okay. And it's through faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. What does that mean? The way to put on this new self is through faith. Now, I think some of you guys, when you think of the word faith, you think of just kind of this like blind belief that something good will happen, right? I have faith. I don't know, but I have faith that something good's going to happen, that, you know, it's going to be good. That's not what the Bible means when it uses the word faith. Faith is an understanding of the promises of God and a confidence in those promises. It's seeing God working through history and believing that it's true and trusting in it and relying on it, putting our whole life on it, staking our entire existence that what this says about life is true. That's faith, giving ourselves over to the promise of God and trusting in them with everything we have. Paul's saying, this new life I live in Christ, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I live in a trust, a wholehearted trust that Jesus died for me and gave himself for me to give me a whole new life in him. A second text that's really helpful for us is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Don't turn there either, but this one really helps us see how do we actually get transformed through this faith. This text is interesting. It says, with unveiled faces, in other words, we can see Jesus for who he is, we're beholding the glory of God and being the glory of Christ and being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And this comes through the Spirit. So faith, beholding Christ, seeing who he is, trusting in who he is and what he's done for us, and having that change us from the inside out by the Spirit. So we can't dive too much into that trajectory, but that's how we grow, guys. We see the goal. Who are we becoming? We're becoming like Jesus. We're putting him on. We're not living life to express ourselves and do what we want. We're living life to become like him. That's the goal. And then how does that happen? Well, we put off this old self, this old way of thinking and desiring that has to do with our sinful nature. And we have our minds renewed. We look in Scripture and have the truths of the Word of God change the way we see everything around us. And then we put on this new self that is given to us by faith in Jesus, this new life he has given to us through his death and resurrection. By trusting in the gospel and what he's promised he has done for us, we have a whole new life to live. And this new life has true righteousness and holiness in it. In other words, the key to growing in Christ and becoming Christ is to have faith in the work of Christ, giving you a whole new life through the gospel. And if that's totally foreign to you guys, like if that all just makes zero sense, I would encourage you to come talk to me or one of the other leaders about that, because that's really important that you guys understand how Jesus' death and resurrection leads to us having a new life, okay? That's something that is at the center of what it means to be a Christian. If you don't understand that, you haven't really come to know Jesus. Jesus is about giving us a new life through what he has done for us on the cross and in his resurrection. So I'd encourage you guys, if you haven't yet to kind of come to grips with that, think about that deeply. Because the Christian life is not possible unless you know the gospel and how Christ has given you a new life through it, okay? For those of you guys who are already there and have already placed your faith in Christ and have turned from your old self and have been seeking to grow in your understanding of truth, and have been putting on that new self in Christ, have been believing the gospel and trusting in it. When we open our Bibles, to see who Jesus is, to see his love, to see his justice, to see his mercy, to see his kindness, to see him as king, to see everything about him, about what he does and how he acts, and to be transformed as we look at him. God is going to transform us as we come to know Jesus in Scripture. So that's the goal, guys. As we open our Bibles, you know, it's not just about learning good things to do and bad things to do. It's about learning who God is in Jesus and really praying that he would put Christ on us, that he would transform us to be like Christ, that we would become like him. And so we need God to do a work in our lives to make that happen, which is why for the next few weeks we're going to talk about prayer. Why does prayer matter? Well, it matters because nothing's going to happen in our lives, guys, of any spiritual good if God doesn't work. Growing in Christ is a miracle that God works in our hearts, and we need him to do it, and we need him to continue to do it. So we need to pray. So the next few weeks when you guys come, we're going to be talking about prayer. You know, what prayer is and why it matters for our lives. And my prayer is that you guys would really start to wrestle with, how do I view this book? What am I seeking the Bible to do in my life? Am I seeking it to do anything in my life? And ask yourself, do I want to be transformed into Christ? And if that's the goal of your life, then we need to start praying in that direction, that God would use this book to do that for us, okay? Let's pray, and then we can, we're pretty much done here, so. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the miracle that you have given us a book to read, that the creator God of the universe would give us words to read, and that he would do it so that we would be transformed into your son, into being like Jesus. Thank you for opening many of our eyes to see who Jesus is, and I pray that you would do that in many more hearts here, a lot of these guys here would see who you are and what you're saying in the gospel, what you did on the cross and in your resurrection to give a new life to us sinners, and that they would trust in you and turn from their sin and be saved. I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.